Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. And this is Xu Han from Chinese Academy of Agriculture Science. And I'm glad to present here to you. And let me start a little bit background. As we know, over the past 165 years, the CO2 concentration has reached up to nearly 400 ppm, and it was projected that it will reach up at least 550 ppm in 2050. So there are lots of papers study on the CO2 enrichment experiments, and I just list some examples. There are closed gross chambers and open top chambers, and also free air CO2 enrichment. In the worldwide, there are nearly about 30 phase sites, and in China, actually, there are already 3 phase sites. And the first one is set up by CAIS in Jiangsu province from 2001, and the second one is set up by our organization from 2007. So here is our phase site right in Beijing, China, and we have 6 elevated CO2 rings and the other 6 ambient CO2 rings. And the diameter for each ring is 4 meters, so it's a mini phase system. So for the target CO2 concentration in elevated CO2 rings is 550, and the concentration is controlled automatically by computer, and based on the wind speed and wind direction. So when the wind speed changed, the CO2 release parts will also change. And we didn't release any CO2 into the ambient CO2 rings. We just keep monitoring on that. So averaged across the 3 experimental year, the ambient CO2 is about 415 ppm. So till now, there are some papers published on the significant variation in yield response to elevated CO2, such as cowpea, rice, and soybean and spearing wheat. So for these results, it may allow breeders to select more CO2 responsiveness yield trends. So in China, winter wheat is a major food crop. There are 5 major planting area, and the planting area and the production accounts for 1/3 of the 3 major cereal crops. So we set up a 3-year phase experiment on 12 cultivars of winter wheat was tested with 3 replicates. And here is the growing here is the climate pattern during the 3 growing season. And so in general, winter wheat is sown on the early October and harvest on late June in China. And so for the three experimental years, the precipitation have some difference, but the temperature pattern is similar between the 3 years. And for the 12 cultivars, based on the plant height and also based on the harvest index, we divide it into 3 different clusters. For cluster 1 here, we could see that the plant height is shorter, but with a large spike and also a less tiller number. But for the third cluster, and the plant height is taller, but with small spike and more tiller number. So we take management on photosynthesis, and also the green yield and the yield components was determined by on an area basis. So here is the photosynthesis results, and we just show the average across the 3 years in three different growth stages. We could see that under elevated CO2, the photosynthesis was increased by 7%, and here 24% and 22% in three stages and also we could find that from the first growth stage and for the first clusters, that it means big to medium spike clusters may benefit more from elevated CO2. And here is the green yield result and from different year. So averaged across years and cold ones, the green yield was enhanced by 11% under elevated CO2. But we could find that there are much a variation in yield response to elevated CO2. So we could see that from the different cold one, from negative 3 to positive 20% under elevated CO2. So we put more into the different clusters. We could also find that for the bigger to medium spike cultivars benefit more than the small spike cultivars under elevated CO2. And also the harvest index also have the similar results. So what factor contributes to the difference between yield increase and under elevated CO2? We found that more tiller number per plant, and also the more productive tiller number on an area basis contribute most to the yield increase under elevated CO2. But we didn't find there is no significant CO2 effect on the 1,000 green weight. But regard to the green number per spike, and there are some the CO2 and the cultivar interaction was significant. We could see that for the small spike group, they benefit more on the green number per spike. So let me put a summary that the green yield was enhanced by 11% under elevated CO2, but we found that a greater increase percentage for large spike cultivars was found than small spike cultivars under elevated CO2. And the photosynthesis assimilate rate was increased under elevated CO2. So the green yield response to elevated CO2 may be determined by the availability of higher sink capacity to assimilate the additional carbon. So this results give us an implication that for breeders to select more CO2 responsiveness yield trees. Thank you. And welcome your questions and comments.
Yeah, questions? Future were you using? Was it for 20 years or 30 years or what? I didn't quite get that.
35 years.
35.
In 2050.
Okay.
Yep.
So then I guess the CO2 would increase based on your date of the yield, but then I guess there's going to be other factors that may decrease the yield due to more variations in rainfall or temperatures or other factors. Is that?
Yes, I quite agree with you that, for example, the temperature, but depends on which growth period. For example, on anthesis, higher temperature may increase the infertility of the green. Yeah.
There's a question there.
Yep.
Have you guys looked at all on the potential, specifically in China, where there's the hypothesis that though CO2 rates may level off due to change in policy, the environmental impact of that continues modeling of how reduced CO2 and change in temperature would impact your grain yield?
Yes, I just got your point that the CO2 change in the future, but actually for my study, it's a short-term CO2 projection. So no matter for which scenario we based on, for the short period, the CO2 will at least rise up to 550. So there are highly confident on that. But in a long-term future, there will be much varies on the CO2 concentration.
Coming over and showing us your data.
Yes, thank you all for coming.
Good.